I've reported other people's stories for a long time, confronting people in power. But behind this broadcast voice, I've hidden my greatest secret. I was in an abusive marriage. It lasted a year, but it changed my life. Part of me always blamed myself for what happened, and I've lived with the shame. So many of us live like this. It's time we change that. I'm Anna Maria Tremonti. Welcome to Paradise is My Story. Available now on CBC Listen and everywhere you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hello, I'm Matt Galloway, and this is The Current Podcast.
My first job was to be a newspaper delivery person, and it happened to be the White Horse Star. And I would go after school and go pick up my papers and do my route. I was so excited to have that job as a performer. Over the years, they did take a number of pictures of me and ran stories about me. It was always exciting to see my picture in the paper. All these years, I never made it to the front page of the White Horse Star. It's kind of like my own Rolling Stone.
For many Yukoners, like storyteller and comedian Sharon Shorty, the end of the White Horse Star marks the end of an era. The Yukon was first created as a territory in 1898 at the height of the Klondike Gold Rush, and the Star, as it's called, has been there almost as long, chronicling Yukon's history for well over a century. Well, next month, the Daily Paper will publish its last issue. There's probably no one who knows the White Horse Star better than editor Jim Butler. He has been with the paper now for 43 years. We've reached him this morning in his cabin just outside of Whitehorse. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Matt.
43 years at the paper, more than 30 as an editor. Since this news broke, people have been paying attention to it from across the country and beyond. What's that been like for you?
Well, first of all, I feel like the captain of this venerable ship with the shoals looming in the distance. You know you're about to go down, but you're utterly helpless, and it's a very lonely and very melancholy feeling. But I've been surprised by the reaction, both within the territory and around the country. I ran into a woman outside our building last Friday afternoon. She came in 3 days a week to buy papers, and she was in tears because our front page headline said farewell that day. I got an email from a man in New Brunswick yesterday, a former Yukoner, said that he had written his fiancée a series of poems over a year in the White Horse Star and proposed in an ad in the Star. And she said yes. And he said if it hadn't been for the Star, I may not have been married to this wonderful woman for 37 years.
Tell me about the shoals. Why, after so long, is this paper facing really, really difficult times?
It's the advent of social media, like so many other papers in the past, Met, and the future. So many of our advertising revenue has disappeared. Full-page ads, classifieds, the real estate supplement, legal ads, even marriage announcements and birth ads are gone. And another damaging blow to the industry is the disappearance of carriers. Mm. They were your lifeline to your paid circulation and distribution system. They were invaluable to newspapers, and the end of that system of distribution is extremely detrimental to your business case.
I mean, when I was up in Whitehorse, there's a photo of me standing in front of the building where the Star is housed. It was not always in that building, though. It originally, is this true? It originally was run out of a tent?
That's right. It began in 1899 in Bennett, northern B.C., in a tent. And then the White Pass Railway was pushed through from Skagway, Alaska, to Whitehorse. And the owners at the time thought it made sense to go where the action was. They relocated to Whitehorse and moved up to the digs of the log building.
From your perspective, what are some of the biggest stories that the paper has covered?
It's covered both world wars, the pushing through of the Alaska Highway for U.S. military purposes during the Second World War. In 1963, Matt, a small airplane went down in southeast Yukon, and a woman and her male pilot were stranded for 49 days in the freezing wilderness. In 1965, Robert F. Kennedy came to the Yukon to ascend Mount Yukon, which, or Mount Kennedy, rather, which was named after his slain brother. land claims, the emergence of indigenous people as an economic and social force in the territory. Just history from 1899 right up to the minute we're speaking that.
Do you have a favorite? Is there, of all the stories, I mean, you can pick one of your own, you can pick one that leaps out to you, but is there one that you think in some way speaks to what this paper has been over time?
One of my favorite stories occurred early in my career as a reporter before I became editor. The territorial cabinet, which is like a provincial cabinet, made a trip to Stokes Point in northern Yukon, looking out over the Beaufort Sea. They wanted to say that this is Yukon land, this is not Alaska, this is not the Northwest Territories. And while all this was going on, Gulf Petroleum had permits to do some offshore drilling, looking for resources to extract. They did not have a land use permit. They were supposed to stay off that delicate tundra. But after our flag planting ceremony, I looked inland and I saw this strange Quonset hut about half a kilometer away. So I ran over to it and the door was unlocked. I opened it up and there was this huge bombardier plastered with Gulf logos. So it was living proof that they had violated their land use permit, were on the land, and were using the land. And that was a national story that really embarrassed the company. That was one of my personal favorites.
Now, we have done a terrible thing. In the news industry, you do not bury the lead. You have breaking news as I speak to you about the potential future of the White Horse Star.
We're in a situation, Matt. It's the bottom of the ninth. There were two outs and two strikes on the batter, and we have something to report. I was just briefed on it last night, actually. A small group of potential investors who have been trying to buy the Star for the last couple of months want to make a last-ditch final offer to the current owners, supported by a community fundraising initiative that's just gotten off the ground in the last couple of days. So the next 3 weeks, I think, should tell us whether it's a go or a no. So the door on us is firmly closed, but there's still a sliver of light showing and a miracle possible.
How does that speak, do you think, to the motto of the paper, this breaking news that you're telling us? The motto of the paper is, well, you say it.
It's a translator from Latin to English. It's don't let the bullies grind you down. I've changed one word for polite radio purposes.
I can imagine what that word is, but continue.
Yeah, you can use your imagination. But yeah, what's happened in the last 48 hours basically proves what this paper has been all about for 124 years. I'm hopeful. I'm delighted, but I'm also, I'm an idealist, but also a realist. We'll see what shakes over the next 3 weeks or so.
But this matters, right? I mean, it's the voice of the Yukon. And I'm not in the Yukon. I'm not from the Yukon. But I love the paper, and I love what it does in terms of telling the story. You think that there's still life there, that there's still an audience for it, but also a possibility for a future?
Judging by the outpouring of reaction, very emotional reaction, and the expression of regrets, there's still a huge hunger for this newspaper. Now we have to see whether that can translate into a solid community venture that will provide the funds to keep us going and turn back the tide of this awful scourge of social media and what it's doing to historic publications across this country.
Sometimes the best moment in the baseball game comes in the bottom of the ninth when you're facing two outs and a real brick wall. Jim, keep us posted, and thank you very much, and good luck.
Thanks for your interest in the Star, Matt. Have a good day.
And you, Jim Butler, longtime editor of the White Horse Star. The paper could be shutting down after 124 years, publishing their final issue on May 17th. But as you heard some breaking news, they might be trying to pull that paper and its future out of the ashes. We will keep you posted.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.